Wow. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you so much. That was such a blessing. You are, I am. You are, I am. It's so grateful to me that we have this opportunity to be together. You know that I often refer to our time together as a community, as a break for station identification, to remember together that our lives are not sponsored by us. They are not sponsored by the world. They are not sponsored by what we have. They are not sponsored by our resume. They are not sponsored by the amount of money we have in the bank. Nothing in the world of appearances sponsors our life. So it's good to take a break from the show, the outer display of the world, and take a pause for station identification. And that's what that song was for me. That song was a pause. It was a break for station identification, for me to remember and to deepen my knowing that my life is sponsored by God, and that God is within all of us, expressing as each of us. And it's a holy opportunity. It's easy to get lost in the world. It's easy to get hypnotized and mesmerized by the outer activity and by the flow of outer pictures and experiences that we go through, which is why it's so important for us to take a break for station identification. I've been doing a lot of gardening, re-putting my entire yard. My property was wiped out in by having a septic tank replaced. And so 32 years of my patios and pavers and terraces and trees that I planted in honor of the passing of all my loved ones and my family, that all got wiped out. And I have an opportunity to just put my space, put my property and my yard back together. So thank God that my recovery from my accident has allowed me to do quite a bit of work. So I've been out there doing a lot of paving and a lot of digging and shoveling and hauling and planting and pulling weeds. I know that I've spoken before, probably many years ago. I did a sermon called The Garden of My Mind, and I was telling you all that when I'm working outside in my gardens, I may appear to be just working on my yard, but I'm at the same time really working on myself. I'm tilling the soil of my soul. I am tending to the garden of my mind. When I'm pulling weeds, I'm thinking about what it is that I need to release and let go of, what it is that I need to pull out by the roots, by the way. When I was a kid, me and my brother had completely different experiences working in the garden, which was one of our jobs as young kids. We did the weeding of the gardens, and we had a really big garden that was meant to provide most of the vegetable food for the family. And I was the kind of kid that was always present. I was always be here now kind of a kid. So when Dad said, get that garden weeded by the time I get back from running my errands, Carlos, you take this row, this row, this row. Carly, you do these rows. And Checky, which my brother Chuck was called when we were kids, Checky, you do those three rows. And my dad would leave and we would be there, and I was present right here, right now, pulling out weeds. Dad had always told us, make sure you get all of the roots out when you pull these weeds. You need to pull out the entire root. So be patient, take your time, and get the whole weed out, or it will just grow back like with the first rain. My brother was not a be here now kind of a guy. His mind was always on a baseball field or a basketball court. So when he was in the garden, although it appeared he was there, he wasn't really there. He was physically placed there, but his mind was off playing ball. He wanted to hurry through and he didn't really take my dad's instructions. What my brother would do so that he could quickly hurry and get off to play was he would snap the roots right off at ground level. So it appeared that the roots were gone, but upon closer observation, you could tell, no, they're still there. This little guy just snapped them off. He didn't take the time. He wasn't interested in gardening. He was interested in playing. So of course, after the first rain, the rows that Carly did were still free of weeds, and all of the rows that Checky did, the weeds were sprouted right back up as strong, if not stronger than ever. So when I'm weeding in the garden, I'm always thinking about, have I pulled out the weeds by the roots, the weeds of some of my grievances that I've had with myself, with other people, or with life, the way life is, or the way God is? Have I pulled those out by the roots? Have I pulled out my potential sometime to believe, which is the opposite of what Sarah's saying, to believe I'm me and you're not. You're not me. We are two separate beings. I'm working to get into a deeper realization of unity and oneness. So when I'm pulling garden weeds, I'm thinking, are there any opportunities for forgiveness that I snapped off at the root, snapped off at ground level? Did I really forgive that person? Or did I just snap it off at the level of the ground so that it appeared that I had forgiven them or forgiven the situation or forgiven whatever it is? And at the first rain, they're going to pop right up again because I didn't get to the source of them. The source of the weed lies in the roots. They are what feeds that weed. So if I'm not getting rid of the source of it, they're just going to spring back up. I know that sometimes in my life I have said I've forgiven someone and thought I had forgiven someone, but what I was really doing was saying, I forgive this moment, but I am going to keep an eye out on you. I'm going to watch you closely, because if you do anything like that again, I'm ready to address you in a non-positive, not loving way. I've still got the roots underground, and I will spring to life given the slightest rain. So two different experiences having that. I also deadhead my flowers, getting rid of all of the rosebuds that are past their time and clipping them off, because I realize that if I don't get rid of things that no longer serve me, if I don't nip them off at the bud, then the life force in me will continually be trying to feed that dead bulb, that dead rose bud. The life force is trying to resurrect it, but it's not resurrectable. It needs to be deadheaded so that the life force can bring new blooms, new roses on that bush. So a lot of gardening out there and a lot of time for meditation and contemplation. Lately, I've been thinking about the subject that I'm bringing for you here, because when I'm out there working on my garden, I'm really working on my mind. If I'm out there for 5 hours at a day, then I have given 5 hours to tilling the soil of my soul. I have been tending to the garden of my mind and really becoming aware during these seasons and periods where I'm out there doing that, of how important it is to observe your mind, how important it is to have an inward look on what your mind is doing, what your mind is thinking. Because as we've said before, what you're thinking is what you're creating. And we're all programmed in this world to be reactive. The scripture that I gave was a part of a scripture, and the part that I gave to you today was, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that sentence begins with, "Be you not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind." We have received so much programming about the idea that the separation is real, that I'm me, you're not, we're us, you're not. The thought of separation and disconnection has given rise to so many of the conditions that are painful for humanity to go through. Conforming to this world is what most of us are doing. Most people are being like everybody else. They're still sort of living in that Old Testament law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It becomes difficult to see people as children of God when we have been programmed so effectively to see only certain people as children of God, people who do a certain things, people who have a certain way of behaving. So having eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have broken down everything in our world through the interpretation of what is good and what is evil. This is the way of the world, the Old Testament law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'll be good to you if you're good to me. I will be kind to you if you are kind to me. I will have your best interest in mind and in heart if you have my best interest in your mind and in your heart. It's like, but don't cross me. Don't ever cross me. Because if you think I can preach, you should hear me cuss. I used to tell people that a lot. People would come up to me after service. Oh my God, Pastor. Oh my God, Reverend. You sure can preach. You're amazing. Wow, you sure can preach. And I always love to just get in and go, oh, if you think I can preach, you should hear me cuss, because I'm a mix, like everybody is a mix. And so to go for transformation of my mind can take me out of being conformed to the ways of the world. The ways of the world are the ways of reactivity. It's how we think. Many times we have been taught that to be reactive is powerful. That if someone does something to you, it's a powerful stand to get them back. I'll get you back. It's a powerful stand to not take any mess from nobody. It's a powerful stand to be on guard. It's a powerful stand to be shielded. And it's not a powerful stand, because whatever the question, love is the answer. And whatever the problem, love is the solution. So be you not conformed to the ways of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what unity is all about. It's about the renewing of our minds, taking on what has been called Christ consciousness. Others call it cosmic consciousness. Others call it God consciousness. Others call it the consciousness of the Oversoul. But it is the high road. It is the way of love. You know, remember that I've said before that an Indian shaman told all of his pupils that were gathered around him, there are two wolves fighting each other inside of each of us. There are two wolves fighting inside of me. There are two wolves fighting inside of you. One is fighting for you to be reactive, conform to the world, on guard, ready to do battle. That one is fighting for you to believe that separation is real, that you're you and no one else is, that you're disconnected from your creator and from all of creation. That one wolf is fighting for you to be in fear, fighting for you to be on guard, fighting for you to be prepared to be attacked, or to be prepared to attack first, lest they get you first. It's a wolf that fights for us to believe in lack and limitation and scarcity, and to take sides and to do battle. to continually eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The other wolf fights for us to eat from the tree of life. That wolf fights for us to recognize that unity and oneness are the only true things that are going on, that nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, because we are a part of God and God is a part of us. That wolf is fighting for us to realize that we are not separate from one another, that it is true, the lyrics to the beautiful song that Unity sang at the last retreat that I was at, the song that said, I pray for you, you pray for me, I love you, I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, I need you to survive. It says that we are a part of God's body. That's what the other wolf is fighting for. One is fighting for you to be reactive to the things of the world. The other wolf is fighting for you to respond to what is from a place of God-centeredness within you. The first wolf is about conforming to the ways of the world. The second wolf is about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, which takes work. It takes tilling the soil. It takes deadheading any blooms that are no longer alive, so that your life force is not continually trying to resurrect what has lived its life and its time to be over, to get those weeds out by the roots. So one wolf fighting to bring you down, another wolf fighting to lift you up. So after he explained that there are two wolves fighting within each of us, one of the little kids raised their hand and said, which wolf will win? To which the shaman teacher replied, the one you feed the most. Which wolf will win? The one you feed the most. We give so much feeding and attention to the wolf that is fighting for us to believe in separation. We feed ourselves thoughts of separation, of doing battle, of I am good, they are evil. We are right, they are wrong. We go into battle with people in our intimate surround, a battle to be right rather than to be happy, and to people in the world at large. We watch the news and we do battle and we feed the wolf that believes in separation and in enmity. This is why we have to take a break for station identification. Often, we have to get away from being reactive to the outside surround and go inside, because it is true what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you. The garden of your mind and heart is the kingdom of God. There are two wolves fighting inside of you. One is fighting for you to be reactive, to feel that you're a victim, to feel that you need to be defensive, to feel that you need to go on attack, to feel that you should be made miserable or sick to your stomach about the events that are happening in the world around you, the divisions, the wars, the isms, the dysfunctions. We are fed that, and we hook into it, and we react to it. We react to it in the way that the Chinese coin that has the same symbol, where one side is interpreted danger, and the other side is interpreted opportunity. when you're reactive, you are in danger. You feel you are, which is why you're reactive. When you're responsive from the center of love within you, then you're in your power. Then you know there is nothing to fear but fear itself. So brothers and sisters, be you not conformed to this world, to its way of being, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes work. Even when I pull the roots out, even when I do the deadheading, within a day or two, there's more pulling of roots. There is more deadheading to do. It's never over, this process of awakening, moving on into a higher and more beautiful way of being through a devotion to unity and oneness. We will make mistakes. We will hurt others. We will go off track. We will get out of the garden. Sometimes we would do some very horrible things as we make our way into Christ consciousness. But when we do, let's pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and keep on putting one foot in front of another foot, marching even through the valley of the shadow of death toward higher and higher, purer and purer, more gentle ways of living in love and loving kindness. Some of the icky stuff I've done only so that I will never do it again. It made me sick to my stomach. It made me not feel good about myself. It weakened my sense of self-esteem. And so when I ask the question, why did I do that? The answer is, so that I will never, ever do it again. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. Thank you for your listening. Have a blessed day. It's the best day ever. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Don't waste yours. Peace.
Bravo, Carlos. Thank you. Thank you for speaking truth. Thank you for speaking truth. You better preach. And I've heard you cuss. I know you can cuss.
Oh, yeah, I know you know.
And you know that I can.
I know.
You know, sometimes I'm like.
We're a mix, brother. We are a mix.
Have I become a minister with Tourette's? I don't know. You know, I have always loved the metaphor of pulling the weeds in the garden of our lives and tilling the soil from the very moment I ever heard it. That resonates with me so deeply. That's our constant work.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it amazing? No matter how well we weed the garden, those suckers find offspring that will come up later.
Yep.
They'll come back home looking. Looking for the parents. They're like roaches and rabbits. But, oh, God, I'm grateful for you. Grateful that you're here. Grateful you're still doing what you do, which is mainly just shining your light on planet Earth. You are heaven made. And I thank you for the wisdom you impart every time you choose to do so.
Thank you, brother.
You're such a pillar for us in this, in the foundation of this really amazing, important community doing an important work. You're such a part of that. And I thank you.
I'm grateful.
I know you are. I know you are. So right now, let's get ready to take another pause for another station identification. Take a breath. Sit up. Let's meditate.
May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the anger in me be dissolved by the purifying love of Christ, along with all fear and sadness. May they be shined away and made to disappear in the blazing light of Christ that shines from God through me. May I be baptized with the Holy Spirit over and over and again, may I see in the faces of others the countenance of my own self and my own dearest ones. And may the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the judging nature of my carnal self die daily. May both my heart and mind be transformed by the great power of acceptance, forgiveness, and Christ-like love. May my life become a living testament to human kindness. May I love to live, and may I live to love. And may the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May I be exorcised of the spirit of victimization and of the spirit of vindictiveness and of the spirit of all competitiveness and contentiousness. May I be exorcised of every spirit of greed and of every spirit of lust and of the spirits of envy and of jealousy. May I in fact be exorcised of every spirit but the spirit called holy. And may this spirit only guide me and direct me and lead me. May I be purified and edified, that God be glorified. And may the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May all that I think and feel and say and do be acceptable in the sight of the Holy One. May my intentions be honorable in all ways regarding all things and for the good of all beings. May I love as I would be loved, and may I forgive as I would be forgiven. May I grow from grace to grace to grace to grace, from now until forever and beyond. May I be known for my gentleness, and for my willingness to extend mercy and amnesty to those who have trespassed against me. And may the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May I be known for my gentleness and for my willingness to extend mercy and amnesty to those who have trespassed against me. And may the things I've done to harm be not repeated. May the things I've done to harm be not repeated. Amen. Peace.